Please establish a strong argument for the doctrine of investigative judgment from the Bible only.
There are many people that say that the Adventists have it wrong when they talk about an investigative judgment. The words investigative judgment do not appear in the Bible. Mm-mm. But that doesn't mean that the principle of an investigative judgment does not appear in the Bible.
Yeah.
Any court of law has various phases mm-hmm. of activity. When a case is brought before a judge, there is first a discussion as to whether the person is guilty or not. Mm. In other words, there's an investigation.
Yes.
Right? You might not call it that, but that is actually what takes place. That's what a court case is all about. And once that investigation has been carried out, then there can come a pronouncement of judgment. And after the pronouncement of judgment, there is an execution of that judgment. In other words, you have an investigation, you have a pronouncement, and you have a execution of judgment, executive judgment. Those are the phases of judgment. So what about the Bible? Does it speak about these issues in any way? So let's look at it carefully. Firstly, there is a judgment in the Bible. We know that. You can find it in the New Testament. You can find it in the Old Testament. Mm-hmm. And it's very consistent. So there is a judgment. Let's read a few verses. Ecclesiastes 12, verse 13. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. For God shall bring every work into judgment with every secret thing, whether it be good or whether it will be evil. So there will be a judgment, right?
Definitely.
And who is the one who's doing the judging here?
God.
God. Secondly, the judgment is for all men. Romans 14, verse 10. But why dost thou judge thy brother? Or why dost thou set at naught thy brother? For we shall all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. All judgment has been handed over to Christ.
Yeah.
In a very interesting sense, Christ himself is also being judged.
Yeah.
Because there was a war in heaven. And Satan accused the government of God. In other words, he accused Jesus Christ of unfair practice by eliminating him from heaven and yet providing redemption for Adam and Eve.
Yes.
So Christ and his righteousness, his correct doing, are also, in a sense, being judged. Now, the third point is the judgment will be for the righteous and the wicked. Ecclesiastes 3:17, I said in my heart, God shall judge the righteous and the wicked. For there is a time, therefore, every purpose and for every work. So there will be the righteous and there will be the wicked. Jesus refers to the sheep and the goats, the good fish and the bad fish, that there will be a separation. Mm-hmm. So we have established there is a judgment. The judgment will be for the just and for the wicked. Nobody is excluded. We will all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. And Paul makes it quite clear, you cannot, as a human, determine the motives of the heart. Mm-hmm. Leave that to God.
To God.
Leave that to God. Now, the fourth point is, there will be an investigation for the books of record are to be opened. Right?
Yes.
Daniel chapter 7, verse 10. Well, you know, we can read it here, but we can also go to the Bible.
Correct.
I always like going to the Bible directly. And we can look at the book of Daniel. And we can go to Daniel chapter 7. And interesting, in chapter 7, he describes these creatures, these beasts that arise, these kingdoms that will arise. Mm-hmm. And from verse 9, we have a new paragraph. And it says, I beheld till thrones were cast down, and the Ancient of Days did sit, whose garment was white as snow, and the hair of his head like the pure wool. His throne was like the fiery flame, and his wheels as burning fire. A fiery stream issued and came forth from before him. Thousands ministered unto him, and 10,000 times 1,000 stood before him. The judgment was set, and the books were opened. Now, Martin, where does this scene take place?
In heaven.
It takes place in heaven, and books are being opened.
Yep.
Now, what books are these? There are various books mentioned in the Bible. Mm-hmm. There is the Book of Life.
Yes.
And by the way, who is written in the Book of Life?
Every person.
Every single person is written in the Book of Life. So Christ died for all.
Yes.
But can your name be removed from the Book of Life?
Unfortunately, yes.
Unfortunately, yes. And that will be based upon what? Your acts, your deeds, and your decisions.
Yes.
Right? I beheld, then because of the voice of the great words which the horn spake, I beheld even till the beast was slain and the body destroyed and given to the burning flame. So while this scene is taking place in heaven, there are great words being spoken down here. Mm-hmm. And he looks through the stream of time, even to the point where that entity will be destroyed.
Yes.
So basically, Daniel 7 tells us about a judgment scene which takes place in heaven, mm-hmm. and books are being opened. Now, what would be the purpose of opening books?
To glance at it and look at it, read it, see what's going on in there.
And to investigate,
yes,
whether someone is in the Book of Life or not in the Book of Life.
Yes.
Are there deeds of such a nature that they will not be scratched out of the Book of Life? Did they have faith, etc.? So Luke chapter 21 verse 36 says, watch ye therefore and pray always that you might be accounted worthy to escape all these things that shall come to pass and to stand before the Son of Man. So in other words, the time will come when you will stand before the Son of Man and give an account.
Mm-hmm.
But the books have already been studied in heaven prior to that.
Prior to that.
Okay. The fifth point is, there will be a pronouncement of the verdict. So there must be an investigation. The books were opened. And take care of how you live your life, because eventually you will confront Christ himself, and you will be confronted with whatever has been determined from that investigation. And then there will be a pronouncement of verdict. And some people will say, when they hear the verdict, but Lord, Lord, didn't we do all these wonderful things
in your name?
In your name? And he will say, depart from me. And then there's an interesting word there, ye that practice anomia.
Mm-hmm.
Against the law of God. And we must not forget that. So Revelation 22 verse 11 says, he that is unjust, let him be unjust still. And he which is filthy, let him be filthy still. And he that is righteous, let him be righteous still. And he that is holy, let him be holy still. In other words, when that investigation has come to an end for all of humanity,
yes.
then God initiates the cutoff point. And he says, from now on, those that were unjust, let them be unjust still. Those that were righteous, let them be righteous still. And if you are holy, you will remain holy. If you are unholy, you will remain unholy. In other words, probation is closed. So that is a final close to the entire judgment scene. Revelation 22 verse 12 says, "And behold, I come quickly, and my reward is with me, to give every man according as his work shall be." So here's my question. He says he's coming quickly and he brings his reward with him. What is that reward?
Well, it will be either eternal life or eternal judgment.
Okay.
It's the verdict of the whole investigative judgment.
Okay. So this decision must take place when? Prior?
Yes, prior.
Or after his coming?
Before.
Otherwise, he cannot bring his reward with
him,
right?
Can't come with a reward, yeah.
So obviously, there is this investigation and the pronouncement of the close of probation. And then when he comes, his reward will be with him. Now, in the resurrection, is there more than one resurrection?
Yes.
Yes. You have the resurrection of the just. And the rest of the dead did not wake up, right? That says the Bible. And they remained in the graves how long?
A thousand years.
A thousand years. So only if you are part of the first resurrection are you part of the resurrection of the redeemed. If you're part of the second resurrection, then that is very bad news. It means that you are eternally lost. The sixth point is, there will be an executive judgment. So we've gone through the phases. Revelation 20 verse 11 says, "And I saw a great white throne and him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heavens fled away, and there was found no place for them. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire." Now, this is after the millennium. This is the second resurrection.
Yes.
So here you have this great white throne. The dead, the unrighteous dead, are raised and they face the consequences of their actions. And if they were not found written in the book, they were cast into the lake of fire. Now, verse 14 had defined that lake of fire. And if we read verse 14, it says, "And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death."
Yes.
So that is the final destruction of the wicked, the second death from which there is no resurrection. The seventh point we would like to mention is, there will be a clearing of the righteous. You have to be cleared of your transgression, because all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. So Hebrews 12 verse 23 tells us, "To the general assembly and church of the firstborn, which are written in heaven, and to God, the judge of all, and to the spirits of just men made perfect." So he's referring to the church, and he said, here are individuals that are no longer unrighteous, but have now been declared righteous. Now we have to be very careful how we study this. So point eight that we want to mention is, there will be an accounting worthy of the righteous before the second coming of Christ. It must take place before the second coming of Christ, because otherwise there couldn't be a reward and a resurrection of the just, because they must have been declared just, right?
Otherwise, you would have had to bring up all and then declare it, and the rest would have
correct.
To die.
And that's not how it happens. No. There's only a resurrection of those that died in Christ, and they are accounted worthy. It's important that we study this carefully. Now, Luke chapter 20 from verse 34 onwards says, "And Jesus answering said unto them, the children of this world marry and are given in marriage, but they which shall be accounted worthy to obtain that world and the resurrection from the dead, neither marry nor are given in marriage." Now, we're not using this verse to talk about marriage and what marriage will be like in heaven. It's simply about being accounted worthy to obtain that world and the resurrection from the dead. So they must have been accounted worthy.
Yes.
Now, what does that mean?
That means it must have been a study to see if you are worthy.
Yes, there must have been an investigation to see if you are worthy. So this accounting worthy, verse 36 says, "Watch ye therefore and pray always that you may be accounted worthy to escape all these things that shall come to pass and to stand before the Son of Man." In the investigation, you have to be accounted worthy. Otherwise, you cannot be part of the first resurrection.
Correct.
So let's look at this word, accounted worthy. What is it in the Bible? The word is kataxiou. And this is the concordance, Strong's. To deem entirely deserving, to count worthy. Now, according to Moulton and Milligan, this Greek word does not mean to make worthy, but to count worthy. And here is again a difference between Catholicism and Protestantism. Catholicism teaches that you are made worthy. Protestant teaching is that you are counted worthy. In other words, it is the imputed and imparted righteousness which you appropriate by faith, which makes you counted as worthy. So the gift is always a gift from the giver and not something that you eventually attain. It is an imputed and imparted alien righteousness, so that no man can boast.
Correct.
So I hope that this answers the question of whether there is an investigation or whether there is not an investigation.
And it hopefully also answers that investigative judgment is prior to Jesus' second coming.
It has to be. Otherwise, there could be no resurrection of the just and an ignoring of the unjust.